Today, we begin a new sermon series called Holistic Missions. And it's an important sermon series because it will, in a sense, set a vision for Christian missions, especially here at Second Baptist Church of Richmond. And I want to start this series by drawing your attention to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 22. I will read this passage from the New Revised Standard Version. And the title of my sermon today is Inside Out. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Let us pray. Lord God, in this preaching moment, I simply ask that you would help me to speak your word. Help them to hear your word. And Lord, help us all to do your word. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. One year, when I was a youth minister in South Carolina, I led a mission trip to Massachusetts, to the Boston area. We had about 60 people on our mission team, about 50 teenagers and 10 adults, and we had several projects planned for Boston. We were going to carry out a day camp in the city of Boston, a Christian sports camp in the nearby town of Peabody, and also a vacation Bible school in the spooky city of Salem. Beforehand, because we had so many different projects to prepare for, we held several training meetings for the entire team. And at the end of each of these training meetings, we would all stand in a circle and hold hands. And as we looked at one another across the way, someone would voice a prayer for our team's inner workings, for our unity, for our love for one another, and our support of one another. After that prayer, we would all turn around 180 degrees. We still formed a circle, we still held hands, but now we were facing outwardly rather than inwardly. At that time, a team member would voice a prayer for our team's outer workings, for our witness, for our evangelism, for our loving service to other people. That last prayer was always my favorite part of those training meetings. It felt odd and counterintuitive to stand with our backs to one another, but it was a great reminder that we had gathered for the purpose of serving others. If I had to choose an image of the church, I would probably choose a circle of people holding hands. But I would turn that circle inside out so that our focus is not on one another, but on the world around us. This wouldn't mean that we forget about each other. We would continue to care for one another and love one another and fellowship with one another and minister to one another within the church. But our focus would be on loving and serving the world around us. It's important to realize that when you become a Christian, you become a missionary. You might be called to go to Japan or Nigeria or Honduras to share the gospel and start a church and live there for the rest of your life. Or you might be called to be a missionary right here where you live, right here where you work, right here in your everyday life, right here in Central Virginia. If you are a Christian, then you are a missionary, and life is your mission field. We follow in the tradition of Jesus' first disciples. And after Jesus arose from the dead, he sent his disciples on mission. The resurrected Christ is the commissioning Christ. At the end of Matthew's gospel, the resurrected Christ says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." At the end of Luke's gospel, the resurrected Christ says that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed to all nations. And at the end of John's gospel, the resurrected Christ says, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." As Christians, we are sent people, sent to make disciples of all nations, sent to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins, sent to love our neighbors as ourselves, sent to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, sent to be the hands and feet of Christ to those around us. When we walk down the aisle and receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior by faith, he comes into our life and turns us around 180 degrees and sends us right back out the door. When Christ saves us, Christ sends us. Disciples are missionaries. In John 17, 18, Christ prays to the Father, saying, "As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world." And after he resurrects from the grave, he reiterates this idea in John 20, 21. "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Whatever the mission of Christ was, is now our mission. Whatever Christ was sent to do is now what we are sent to do. And what was Christ's mission? What was Christ sent to do? He tells us plainly in Luke 4:18 that he was sent to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. He adds in Luke 4:43, a little later, that he was sent to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God. The mission of Christ, then, includes both evangelism and social ministry. The Father sent Christ to preach the good news and to set the oppressed free. Since that was Christ's mission, it is now our mission. This realization challenges us to take a common view of church and flip it on its head. Namely, church is not so much a place to which we come as a place from which we go. Imagine the possibilities if church were primarily a place from which we go. Instead of being a set of walls that fortify us from the outside world, church would be a launching pad that propels us into the world to carry out the mission of Christ. Instead of being a place that merely meets our consumeristic needs, church would thrust us into the larger community to meet the needs of others in Christ's name. Instead of being a place where we come to do our Christian thing, a church would be a rest stop between weekly missions where we refuel so that we can go back out and continue to do the work of God in this world. I believe Christ wants us to take our mindset and turn it inside out, to take our lives and turn them inside out, to take His church and turn it inside out. Imagine for a moment if this church building were literally turned inside out. The beautiful brick exterior would be on the inside. And this pulpit here would be on the outside. We would take God's word and share it with people outside the church. When I was in college, I used to play music with a friend of mine named Aaron. We both played acoustic guitar and sang, and we would play for churches and colleges and retreats and coffee houses. Once a friend of ours invited us to open up for him at a coffee house in downtown Greenville. It was called Coffee Underground. And we were really excited about this because it was one of the best gigs we had ever had. And I remember we got there early that night and we plugged our stuff into their sound system. I remember they had really nice floor monitors, the speakers that face the performers so that we can hear ourselves as we play and sing. And when people came in, we started into our set of songs. And we were playing with energy. We were singing our harmonies and we were rocking out, at least we thought we were, because the monitors were pumping. But the people that were listening didn't seem too terribly interested in our music. So afterwards, when we finished our set, we walked out there to hang out with some friends and listen to the main act that was coming on next, and we asked them how we sounded up there, and they said, I couldn't really tell. It wasn't very loud. I said, really? Because it was awfully loud, you know, to us when we were up there. So I went over and asked someone else. I said, hey, could y'all hear us when we were playing? They said, not really, nah, the sound just wasn't very good. We just couldn't hear you. After a couple of other conversations, we came to find out that during our set of songs, the main speakers in this place never got turned on. Now the monitors, they were cranking. That's why we thought we were rocking it out. But the main speakers, the one facing the audience who had come to hear the music, they never got turned on. It turned out that at our best gig yet, we played the whole little concert for ourselves. I'm concerned that the church often does likewise with the gospel, that we proclaim it mainly among ourselves, that we share God's word primarily with one another, that we're speaking into the monitors but not getting God's word in the main speakers, not taking it to others who want or need to hear. Now, I'm not suggesting that we take a bullhorn and go stand on a street corner, nor am I suggesting that we start giving people sanctimonious spiritual lectures or a theological sales pitch. What I am suggesting, as 1 Peter 3 says, is that we share the reason for our hope with gentleness and respect. What I am suggesting, as 1 Peter 2 says, is that we look for appropriate moments to proclaim the marvelous acts of God who has brought us out of the darkness into the marvelous light. What I am suggesting is that just as God sent Christ to proclaim the good news, we do likewise in the world around us, on the streets, at the office, in the neighborhood, at the ball game, by way of email or text message or letter or face-to-face conversation, sharing God's word with friends, neighbors, co-workers, family members, even strangers, in loving and gentle and respectful ways. place. Some years ago, I read a story about a Christian man who woke up one morning sensing that God wanted him to send a particular Bible verse to one of his friends. He had never talked to this friend about God before, so he felt awkward about it. But he felt very strongly the spiritual sense that God wanted him to send this particular friend this particular verse. So he wrote him an email that said, "Listen, I don't mean to get weird on you or anything, but this morning I felt like God wanted me to send you this verse. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest." As this man's friend read the email, he felt like God was speaking directly to him. And for the first time in his life, he believed that Jesus is real. He started going to church thereafter and later became a Christian believer. That's taking God's word outside of these walls. That's taking the pulpit outside of the church, and that's part of what it means to turn the church inside out. Imagine for a moment if we literally turned this church building inside out. The awesome towering steeple out front would be on the inside, and this table where we share the Lord's Supper would be sitting outside. We would take food and drink and other resources of life and fellowship outside of these walls to share with the community around us, especially with persons who are oppressed or impoverished. The table of Christ was never meant to be confined to a church building. Christ shared bread with his disciples, yes, but he also took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to thousands in the open countryside. The feeding of the 5,000 is the only miracle of Christ to appear in all four Gospels. There's something central about it, something to imitate, something to replicate. It's a missional extension of the Lord's Supper. And the early Christians knew it. Way back in the second century church, according to the writings of Justin Martyr, during Christian worship services, right after they came to the Lord's table to celebrate the bread and the cup, they would immediately collect an offering for persons in need. It was a way to extend the bounty of the Lord's table toward impoverished persons in the community. You know, I know Christians today who make a point of sharing table fellowship with homeless persons on a regular basis. I know a Christian man today who was eating at a restaurant and felt God calling him to buy lunch for a man who was standing in line, and so he did. And they had a good lunch and a good conversation too. I know a Christian couple who are gifted musicians and they perform benefit concerts so that all the proceeds can be given to help hungry children around the globe. I know a Christian family who tithes their grocery bill, giving 10% of what they spend on groceries for their household to help families who are food insecure. All of these are ways to take the Lord's table outside of these walls, which is an important part of turning the church inside out. Of course, as you may know, there are many, many ways that Second Baptist Church of Richmond is already an inside-out congregation. The missions that are supported and executed by this church are many. And they are vital. Missions to Egypt and Panama, missions to Spain and Haiti and West Virginia, as well as many powerful local missions right here in Richmond. although we are already missions-minded and have been so since our church's founding back in 1820, I believe Christ is calling us to keep turning the church inside out, to keep focusing on the world around us, to keep taking God's word to people who need to hear it, to keep taking the resources of God's table to bless persons who are in need. Now, I know it's a bit much. I do. I know it's a bit much to think about us carrying out the very mission of Jesus Christ. We are not strong enough for this charge. We are not good enough to carry on or carry out the divine mission of the Savior. It might make us think, hey, what was Christ thinking when he sent faulty, feeble people like Mary and Peter and you and me to carry out his holy mission in this world? I'll tell you what he was thinking. He was thinking that he would not send us out in our own strength, but in the strength of the Spirit of God. Verse 22 says, after he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Genesis 2 says that God created human beings by breathing life into us. Likewise, John 20 says that the risen Christ breathes the Holy Spirit into us so that we can go forth in God's power. The resurrected Savior imparts the inspiration of the Holy Spirit so that we can go forth to carry on and carry out his mission, not in our own strength, but in the strength of God Almighty. Even today, as two or three are gathered in his name, the risen Christ joins us and breathes on us afresh, saying, go in the Holy Spirit to carry out my mission. Go in the Holy Spirit to do my work in this world. Go in the Holy Spirit to make disciples of all nations. Go in the Holy Spirit to proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Go in the Holy Spirit to feed persons who are hungry. Go in the Holy Spirit to let the oppressed go free. Go in the Holy Spirit and take the pulpit with you. Go in the Holy Spirit and take the Lord's table with you. Go in the Holy Spirit and turn the church inside out so we can turn the world upside down with the love and the liberation and the grace and the gospel of our amazing God. Amen.